love and to lead us halfway. Whatever God starts, God finishes. We give God praise. Heavenly Father, we worship you, we magnify you, we declare your praise in this place. This is the day you, God, have made for us to rejoice and be glad. And Lord, oh God, on this day, oh God, we magnify you. We testify, oh God, of your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you are not a failing God. You are a winning, victorious God. What you say is what is. And you've declared us blessed and highly favored of you. And so we are blessed and highly favored. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We give God praise for his faithfulness and his love. It's a different kind of service today because I guess this is the first time that through this season that we've been going through the coronavirus pandemic that we are purely virtual. And so because of the limited amount of people allowed in, Mama is not here today. But she gave me the passage of scripture that she was going to read. So I am going to read that particular passage of scripture, and we're going to go into a time of prayer, and then we're going to get right on to the word of the Lord. The passage that she was going to read from is found in the book of Psalms, Psalms 150. The passage reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, we are in the sanctuary of the Lord. Those of us that are here, praise him. And we praise him with all instruments. But the greatest instrument of all is the instrument of those who have the breath of God in them. Right where you are right now, I would like for you to shout 7 hallelujahs as a testament of your praise to God. 1, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that we have breath. We are alive in you. And Lord, oh God, today we declare your praise from this sanctuary, from this place, we declare your praise. But not only in this physical sanctuary, right here in this particular geographical location, but the sanctuary, O God, of your presence, the sanctuary, O God, of your peace, the sanctuary, O God, of your authority and power. For Lord, O God, this day, from this place, we praise you. We declare that there is only one God. And Lord, O God, you reign supreme over all. Nothing stops you. Nothing hinders you. Nothing slows you down. For your presence is everywhere. Lord, O God, and wherever it is that the enemy thinks he can operate from, there you are. There is not one particular space that you do not occupy, for you are omnipresent. There is not one place that your power is not operational, for you are omnipotent. There is no place that you are unaware of, that you do not know about. No place that you do not see. Nothing that you do not understand, for you are omniscient. Lord, O God, this day we bless your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that you see your people, you know your people, and you do right by your people. Blessed be your holy name, Father, forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let us get straight to the word of the Lord today. I encourage you, even after the service is completed from here today, to put some worship songs right where you are and begin to continue in worship. We give God praise for all he has done and all he continues to do in the lives of his people. This day, I want to share a very important word with us, and I'm going to continue sharing this word in the days to come, if that's the way the Lord leads. I want to talk a little bit about peace. God says in his word, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Now, when we talk about that word peace, the shalom of God, or shalom, it stands for nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in stable order or in stability. It also stands for prosperity, good success. The word in the New Testament is the word irene, and it captures the same essence. But when we talk about the peace of God, we're not talking about the absence of problems or issues or troubles. We're saying something more than that. We're saying that in spite of issues, in spite of problems, that God is there with you and keeping you stable, keeping you in a state of rest, keeping you prosperous or successful in accomplishing your God-ordained purpose in spite of all the resistance. Do you understand? That the peace of God is about God's presence in your life, allowing you to accomplish everything you need to accomplish, no matter what the circumstance that stands in your way. That peace is a hot knife cutting through butter. Peace is God being God in spite of your circumstances. And today I want to talk to you about that. recognizing that God is with you. And if God be for you, and if God be with you, for he is Emmanuel, what can be against you? Nothing. That does not mean that there are no circumstances. It means that in spite of it, that the greater one is in you, and that that greater one who is in you is bringing about his perfect will. And his glory is manifested in spite of your problems. We're living in a world that is laden with issues today. There are circumstances that are just buffeting men and women, beating left, right, and center. We can easily get overwhelmed. Like they say, when it rains, it pours. And so many times, problems come. And when you're trying to stick your hand to plug that particular hole, another hole pops off over here. And you try to block that one, but another one pops up over there. You put your foot over there until you run out of your own capacity to block all the holes. What then? And that's where many find themselves today. Some that are so overwhelmed because it's like a domino effect. One problem, then another, then another, then another, then another, then another. And it's so easy to become restless. Become restless without peace. Overwhelmed. And you can come to that place where you begin to wonder, God, where are you? Where are you? How am I going to get through this? I want to assure you that God is with you in your particular situation, and that he is the God who will see you through every situation if you just place your faith in and on him. That God is your answer. He's the one who is going to walk you through that situation. You know, in Job chapter 3 and verse 25, Job makes a statement. He says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Look at it again. "For the thing which I greatly feared," not just the thing I feared, the thing I greatly feared. You see, the enemy wants you to begin to operate in a spirit of fear and overwhelm your mind with false evidence that are appearing real. You've not lost your job, but you're afraid. Oh, what if I lose my job? You're not sick. Oh, what if I get COVID? You don't have any ailment. What if I get cancer? What if, what if, what if? And all of that becomes your reality. It says, "That which I was afraid of is come." What I was afraid of came to me. You need to shut down every spirit of negativity that's trying to bombard your mind. Because, child of God, what you are afraid of comes to you. You become a magnet. Fear becomes a magnet that pulls whatever it is that you are afraid of into your life. And when it comes into your life, you are overwhelmed. It becomes your reality. The Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That means that which you are afraid of comes to you. What comes to you when you have a fear of God? Wisdom, insight, understanding. God brings into your life what you need to overcome. God wants you to experience His power right now. You need to turn your face to God and trust God to work you through every situation. He will give to you wisdom. What is this wisdom? The ability to come, hear God's word, and do it. God begins to show to you the things that you ought to do. The word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. The peace of God comes because you are allowing God to direct you. You are allowing God to show you which place to place your foot. When you have a fear of God, you do not have a fear of your circumstance. You don't have a fear of what you think might be. You have a fear of God, a God who is present with you, and He gives to you now present help in the time of trouble. The peace of God. Job says, I'm afraid. It was this fear that broke the hedge of protection that God had over his life. The devil recognized that as long as he had a fear of God, there was a hedge of protection around him. When you have the hedge of protection of God around you, because you have the fear of God, that protection keeps you from the attack of the enemy. God knew that Job had systematically torn down his protection, torn down that hedge. And he knew if the devil found that weak link, that the devil was going to wipe out Job completely. So what does God do? God says to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, yeah, you're protecting him. God says, listen, I will let you touch him. However, you cannot kill him. This was God's way of putting a line of defense to protect Job. The reason God had to do that was because Job was now afraid of dangerous things that may happen in his life, in the life of his children. He had a fear that his children were going to curse God. And what happens to him? He's left with a wife who told him, why don't you just curse God and die? What he was afraid of concerning others became what his temptation was. Child of God, I want you to understand something today. You need not be afraid of anything or anyone but God. Now, when we talk about the fear of God or being afraid of God, We're not talking about trembling and falling away and running away from God because you're scared. No, it's about our reverence. The fear of God, in real terms, becomes faith in God. Recognizing that He is well able to do exceedingly far above that which you dare ask or think. That's the fear of God. Recognizing that there are no limits to what He can do. This God, I am awed. You know, it's like the disciples said in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus spoke the word of peace over the storm, they were awed and marveled. What kind of a man is this that even the storm, even the wind, even the waves obey him? Who is this? When we have the fear of God, we come to that place where we recognize, what kind of a God is this that can love so much, that can care so much, that can do so much, that has no limits? No matter what the problem, God. No matter what the circumstance, God. When we understand this, we begin to walk differently. We do not engage with problems that overwhelm us. We engage with God who overwhelms our problems. Praise the Lord. I want you today to begin to engage yourself with God, for He will overwhelm the problems that face you right now. Let go of your fears. Let go of that which you are afraid of, and just let God be God in your life today. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 25. John 14, 25. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." These things I have spoken unto you while I am yet present with you. I'm saying this to you while I'm present with you. What did He say? He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Ghost is going to teach you, and He's going to remind you of everything I've spoken to you while I am present with you. What is it? Peace I leave with you. My peace I don't just leave with you, I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. In other words, the peace I'm giving to you is not like the peace of the world. Not like the peace of the world that is peace because there are no problems, no battles, so we have peace. And it's not like the peace of the world that is temporal. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart get troubled, and don't let your heart become fearful. The The onus of your heart not being troubled and not being afraid is on you. Reminding yourself or receiving the word of God that He's already taught you. You see, the reason we are afraid is because we forget the word of God. We forget the God that we are dealing with, that we are connected to, and we forget His awesomeness, we forget His power, we forget His ability, we forget that He's all-knowing, all-wise, everywhere present, that He is a God who is present in the time of trouble. When you forget who you are serving and what His word is, that is a God who cannot lie, then of course you become troubled. So God says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm here with you physically, but there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be there physically, but I'm going to send you a spirit. Now, the spirit you don't see. You don't see the spirit. But that does not mean that the spirit of God is not present. God wants you to know that He's with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. God wants you to know that He's present in your life, that He is a good God, that He's faithful, and that He will do exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, ye might have peace. I've spoken these things to you, that in me ye might have peace. He says, in the world, you are going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, you have peace. I have overcome the world so that you can have peace. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the prophetic word about the Lord is very, very clear. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the rulership shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's going to be called Counselor. You know, amazing that He is wonderful, that He is going to be that wonderful God in your life today. That will bring you into a place of wonderment. He is a counselor. That means that He will be everything to you. He will counsel you. When your mental health is being challenged, He is your counselor. When your chemical balances are off, He is your counselor and your healer, the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. I like that, the everlasting Father. That means that He's always going to be Father to you. And this last part here, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. You know what the seventh verse says? It says, of the increase of his government, of his rulership and peace, of the increase of his government and peace. The increase of his government and peace. So God continues to increase your peace. He says, there shall be no end. There will be no end in the increase of his peace. There will be no end in the increase of his governance over your life. When you allow God to govern you, when you allow God to be Lord over your life, he says, I will continually increase. That means no matter what the challenge is, we're going to be on top of it. It's like a ship on top of the water. The more the water rises, the higher the ship rises. Listen, child of God. God is in control of your life if you will let him. He says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to order it, to order it, and to establish it. He orders and he establishes. He lines things up and he firms it. That means, child of God, God will put your life in order. And he will establish you in that state of order. So no matter what happens, you are not being thrown all over the place. Let me put it this way. It's like putting a very sticky glue at the bottom of your cup and the table stuck properly and things are coming against that cup, but the cup is stuck in one place. God says, I am going to order you, I'm going to put your life together, and I'm going to establish, lock you down so nothing moves you, anchor you so that you are not tossed to and fro, establishing you with judgment and with justice. I will be God who judges, and I will do justice. From henceforth, even forever. How am I going to do this? It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform this. He will have governance over your life, and he will grant you peace that passes knowledge. Why should you be afraid? Because of what the enemy is spouting out that he's going to do. No reason to be afraid, child of God. Absolutely none. Not when you know that God reigns supreme in your life. And he says, my peace I leave with you. What causes people to lose their peace? See, because peace is a covenant statement from God for you. In the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, God is speaking to the religious leaders of the day. They've been messing up. But God says, I did something. As long as you stayed with me, as long as you continued with me, I had a covenant for you. My covenant was with him of life and peace. In other words, I made a covenant of life. I made a covenant of peace. I made a covenant that you will live life to the full and experience my peace, which passes knowledge. And I gave them to him. Just like Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. I leave my peace with you. I give it to you. He says, I gave them to him. Why? For the fear wherewith he feared me. Because he had a fear of me. He had a reverence for me. I gave him a commitment, a covenant for life, livelihood, and peace. And I gave them to him for, because of the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. In other words, he honored my name. He was determined not to dishonor my name. And therefore, my commitment was the release of my peace. As long as you and I continue with God, we can experience the peace of God, which passes all knowledge and understanding. Verse 6 says, the law of truth, that means the word of truth, was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. What he was saying was based on the truth of the word of God, not based on the patterns of this world. Oh, the economy is going under. He didn't say that. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to our society? I'm scared. He didn't say that. As long as they stuck with the word of truth, what does God's word say concerning this matter? As long as they stuck with that word, everything was fine. He says, he walked with me in peace. He walked with me in equity and did turn many away from iniquity. In other words, not only did he have a relationship with me, he committed himself to helping others step away from the thinkings of this world and seeking the heart of God. The peace of God that we enjoy is based on the commitment to the integrity of the Word of God. Continuance in that Word. And our ability to share it with others so they too can experience peace. When they fail to do that, the Bible says even their blessing became a curse. You can bring yourself to a place of defeat where even the good that you do becomes evil. May that never be your portion in the name of Jesus. May that never be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. May the God of heaven be the God of peace in your life. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The word of God says, and be not conformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let your mind get manipulated so that you start thinking like the world thinks. Remember, my peace I give unto you, not like the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for the renewing of your mind and the tense that is being used there is not a progressive changing or betterment of your mind. A better translation would have been, but be ye transformed by the renewed mind. The renewed mind being the mind of Christ, so that you may prove or manifest that which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is the perfect will of God. Prove it. How? With a renewed mind. Where do you get this renewed mind from? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. It is the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed one and his anointing. That anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. And because we have the mind of Christ, we are able to discuss with God. Have our relational discussion with the Lord. He says, "Come, let us reason together." God wants to reason with you. He wants to chat with you today. And he wants you to know that as you relate with him, you can have peace that passes knowledge. While all the issues are buffeting men and women today, and the hearts of men are failing them, I want you to know, child of God, that that is not your portion. That is not your portion. God has not called you to fear. He's called you to faith. You can trust God for a supernatural work of grace right now. Guard, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, it says we should guard the loins of our minds. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." Gird it. "Be sober. And hope to the end." Hope to the end for the grace, the charis, the enabling presence and empowerment of God that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This peace of God, this grace of God. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. What is the loins? What is it referencing? The loins reference the procreative power that is present in us. So, what is that? That procreative power is linked to the word of God in your mouth. So God is saying, watch your mouth. And keep on saying what you need to say. If you have God's kind of faith, you will say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So protect your mind. Don't allow any defilement around yourself. Because God gives to you great peace when you believe that he is a great God. Let's consider something else about this peace of God. How do we walk in it? How do we obtain it? How do we move in it? Because it says, "My peace I leave you, and my peace I give to you. If he's left it, and if he's given it, then I must be able to retrieve it. I must be able to receive it. How do I do that? In Job chapter 22, in Job 22 and verse 21, we read these powerful words. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint now thyself with him. Get to know him and be at peace. He says, thereby good shall come unto thee. The things that I feared have come. That's what Job said. But now he tells us, there's a way to reverse it so that good comes to you. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. He says, this is how good comes to you. Now, that statement was not made directly by Job, but by one of his friends. They were using it as a statement of judgment and accusation towards him. But the truth is embedded in the statement. Thereby, good shall come unto thee. How? Because you acquaint yourself with him. You acknowledge in him. You're connected to him. Peace comes to you. Hear how John gives this particular message to us in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, he says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Notice the statement. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. In other words, you come into a partnership. I'm forming two rings here. If this were God and this were you, he says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. In other words, we come into partnership together. So therefore, whatever God has gets transferred to me, and whatever I have gets transferred to God. But guess what? He takes on all of my sins and he wipes it all off. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. Though your sin be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. Though, mighty God. And though they be as crimson, I shall make them white as wool. In essence, God is saying in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he's saying, I'm not just going to forgive, I'm going to turn your sin around and turn that which is bad to good. He says, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, don't deceive yourself by bringing yourself to a place of defeat because you think God doesn't love you. God loves you. I know you and I have a past, and that our past is so bad and so terrible, and that maybe you're doing something really wrong right this very moment, and God is saying to you, I'm going to step into your situation if you just simply believe in me, and I'm going to turn your bad history around and bring a testimony out of your bad story. Just be calm. Be at peace. Again, 1 John chapter 4. And verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now look at verse 16. And we have known. We have known. Acquaint yourself with him. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. We have known and believed the love that God has
to us or for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, or dwelleth in God, dwelleth in God, and God in him. We are together. How did we become that? Verse 15 again. How did God dwell in us and we dwell in God? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you confess that Jesus is the Son of God? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. An everlasting life that comes from an everlasting Father. As long as God is God, you will be at peace. Receive that. Now, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made perfect. Where is it? Where is this herein? Our partnership with God, being in God. Your love is made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. God is given a transfer of his person to you. Once upon a time, this curtain was white until it got dyed, it got baptized, it got dyed, and now it's a different color. God, when you connect with God, his character and his characteristics flow to you. Now, guess what? God is not afraid. God is not overwhelmed by circumstances. And he's saying, if you connect with me, my character, my personhood is going to be released into you so that you start acting like I am. In peace, at peace, not because there are no problems, but in spite of the problems. You become lord over the situation because you understand one thing, that the God you serve cannot be stopped, cannot be hindered, cannot be slowed down, cannot be overwhelmed. He is all-knowing. He sees the beginning till the end. And he already has determined the end from the beginning. And what has he determined? He wins. What has he determined? You win. We win. Because we are in partnership with him. Hallelujah. So as he is, so are we in this world right now. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in God. But perfect love casteth out fear. It is fear that causes you to come into a place of being restless and without peace. Fear causes you to begin to live in the world of worry. You are removed from the kingdom of fear and worry, and you've been translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of the living God, a God who is in control, a God who reigns supreme. You and I are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Do you receive that? Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear had torment. You know, when I read the Word of God, I find out that torment is in the place where the devil is operating. Torment is in the place where there is unforgiveness. When you practice unforgiveness, you're not operating in the love of God. and you expose yourself to torment. Bitterness will expose you to torment. Fear and worry will expose you to torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, but it's a perfect love that casts out fear. But if you live in fear, you are not perfected in the love of God. Wow. Incredible. Listen to the next statement. We love him because we are acquainted with him, because he first loved us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The godly for the ungodly. He paid the perfect price for your salvation and mine. And that perfect love is God's love. And that love has been given to you and I. And this verse says, watch this. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. You may be asking, you mean my peace is connected to loving other people? You got it. Give yourself a good clap. You got it. If you're walking in hate and bitterness and strife, you cannot know the peace of God, which passes knowledge and understanding. It says, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he's a liar. You know what that means? It means that you are of the devil. Because the father of lies is the devil. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, the brother that you see, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So the proof that you love God is shown and manifested by your love for your brother. You don't love the people that you see, that you love God, God says you're a liar. Verse 21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. If you love God, love your brother also. Wow. Wow. In Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119 and 165. Says, great peace have they which love thy law. Love thy law. Jesus, our Lord, says, this is the law. Love your neighbor, love yourself. Love God. Love your neighbor, to love yourself. Great peace have they which love thy law, or love the word of God. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing offends them. In other words, nothing brings them to a place where they are in strife, in bitterness, and unforgiveness. And because they are not offended, they have peace. Wow. This is how you receive the peace of God. Loving your brother, loving God, and loving others. When you and I fail to connect in those realms, you are not engaging with God. It's like getting into your car, starting the ignition, and going nowhere because you've not engaged the transmission. To be transmitted into the realm of the Spirit where you operate in peace, you've got to love God and love your neighbor. Simple as that. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2, God says to us, and in this verse, actually let me take it from verse 1 and then come to verse 2. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Let your heart keep my commandments or my words. He says, "For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee." What is the difference between length of days and long life? Length of days means that God, we have 24 hours in the day. Everybody has 24 hours. But length of days is you doing what you should have done in 24 hours in 1 hour. Now you have 23 hours. And can you imagine doing 24 hours work in 1 hour? That means in 1 day you've completed a month's work. Isn't that powerful? That God says, if you connect with me, I'm going to be able to bless you in such a way that you are accomplishing way beyond measure what natural laws say is possible. It says, and long life. Why do you have long life? Because you're operating in peace. Not being in peace will age you. Not being in peace will kill you. Not being in peace because you are living in a world of strife and bitterness and unforgiveness poisons your blood. And you begin to reject you. And you die. That will not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." God will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If our mind is stayed on the Lord, God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because he trusted in thee. Because we trust in God, God keeps us in perfect peace. Do you trust in God today? Then you are assured to experience the perfect peace of God. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 12, we read these powerful words. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. For thou also hast wrought all our works. You've done all our works in us. In other words, oh my God. Are you getting this? God has ordained peace for us. And the works that we're supposed to do, he has done it already in us. Guess what then? If God has done the works in us, then what we need to do is begin to speak the manifestation of the works. For as he is, so are we now in this world. We begin to work by proclaiming out of our mouths what we want. For it's already been done inside of us. By God himself. What a powerful passage of scripture. But God says in Isaiah 48 and verse 22, he says, there are certain people that will not have peace. There is no peace, said the Lord, unto the wicked. If I don't bring this particular passage of scripture to bear right now, then I will not have given you all of the word of God. Word of God says, it is the way of the wicked that is hard. It says, there's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace to the wicked. In Isaiah 57 and verse 21, he restates the statement, Isaiah 57:21. He restates it and he says, once again, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's the true statement. No peace to the wicked. Who is the wicked? The wicked is the one that chooses not to believe the word of God. The wicked is the one that has been twisted, just like wicker. That's wickedness. Twisted, not following the truth of God's word. God says, if you're not going to follow the truth of my word, you're not going to have peace. If you have no peace, it is because you're not believing the word of God. You're not following through with the word of God. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the word of God says that the Lord was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Right there in the center of it all, it says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That which it took to bring about peace took on him so that we can have peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. You can be healed of every disease, of every ailment, right this very moment. There's no distance in God. And whatever it is that you're experiencing right now, I want you to know that God's healing power can reach you right where you are. That there's a peace that can reach you right where you are, this very moment. That you do not need to wait for it to happen. It has happened already. God has released it into your life already, and you can enjoy this goodness of the Lord. One of the names where we got, one of the places we got the name of this church from, Glory and Peace, is found in the book of Haggai chapter 2. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9, God says, he says, and in this place will I give peace, my peace and my prosperity. He says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. There is a place of peace in God. It is in the place of the latter glory. God has promised us that this is the time for the manifestation of his glory, all that he is. And as God reveals all that he is to you today, let peace garrison your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I conclude with Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. This is a powerful passage of scripture. And it simply just addresses you and I and says, listen, if thou hast run with the footmen and they've wearied you, if this is a problem that you've got and you're overwhelmed by this, then how canst thou contend with horses? You see, there are issues that are going to come against our world in the days to come. If you are falling apart now, what is going to happen when it hits the fan? What's going to happen? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? That's an interesting statement. How are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? What is the swelling of Jordan? The swelling of Jordan is when there's a flood. A flood. And what is this flood doing? The flood is trying to keep you from your promised land. God is saying to you and I, listen, with all of these issues going on, there is a promised land. And for you to cross over, you're going to have to place your faith in God. How did the children of Israel cross over? The priests went with the Ark of the Covenant and they stood in the Jordan and the waters parted. You know what God wants to do? He wants to step into that water in the presence of God. Step into the problem that's trying to keep you from your promised land. God has a promise for you. Enjoy it today. Step into what God has for you. Let God manifest His glory in your life, and may His joy be your strength. No matter what it is that you're facing today, the Word of God says rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Yes. He says, with thanksgiving, he says, with praise, with worship, with adoration, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, God is at hand. That's right. Read it right there in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 through 8. And you get the whole scoop of the matter. He says, the peace of God will garrison your heart. Stand soldiers, like soldiers around your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. In partnership with Christ Jesus, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. But for that to happen, you got to think new thoughts. Tells us to think about things that are true, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous. He says, think on those things. Get your mind out of the gutter of confusion and think new thoughts. Think about your God. For He is all of those things. He is a just God. He is an honest God. He is a true God. He is a pure God. He is a lovely God. He is a God who gives good report. He's virtuous. And is worthy of praise. Think on that. Get away from worry. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree it so now done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every son and every daughter. And thank you, Lord, for everyone, oh God, that is listening. And has listened to the words that you've given to me to bring to them today. Lord, oh God, as they reflect on your word, let it be a quickening. Not only for them, but also for me, the bearer of this good news. Let every one of your children experience peace and joy. As they share this message with their friends, share it with those, oh God, that they know. Lord, oh God, let this word of peace continue to spread into the hearts of men globally, that they may know that there is a God who cares for them, loves them, cherishes them, wants the best for them, and Lord, oh God, that they can experience supernatural favor. May they know, God, that the greatest level of peace is found in their relationship with you. Therefore, right now, Father, I pray for those, oh God, that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, oh God, that even now as I speak your word, that they will say with their mouth, I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the lover of my soul. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I receive you now, Lord Jesus. Save me and grant me peace that surpasses knowledge. Meet my every need. I trust you. Help me, O God, to love again. In Jesus' name, I declare so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, before we end our time together, I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving. Be reminded that when you give, you are honoring God. Your fear is a reverence of God. Excuse me. And that this peace of God garrisons your heart. Let God grace you with favor and with peace as you give him your best. Don't tip God today. Don't say, well, I'm not in a church service, so I cannot give. No, you have an opportunity to give. You know what? May I put it this way to you in a very nice way? Everybody gives. Yeah. Whatever it is that you withhold away from God, you're going to end up giving some way. I've met so many people through the years who withheld their giving, and in withholding their giving, they say they're having issues, maybe with their vehicles, maybe with their whatever else, maybe with popping, you know, dollars for medication and so on and so forth. You end up giving. So why don't you just give to that which is good? Give to God. And his promise is, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Don't let the devil lie to you about your giving. It is important. God loves cheerful givers, and he wants to bless you exceedingly today. Amen? So, right there, donation@gloryandpeace.com for those who are in Canada, and you can make e-transfers. Do it that way. Those of you that are outside Canada or do not have the way of doing an e-transfer, you can do it directly by pushing on that donate button on the website, or you may find it on the app. Just look for it and make your donation, and you'll be receipted at the end of the year. God bless you. I love you. And may God, who multiplies seed sown, multiply your seed sown in Jesus' mighty name. May God's grace, God's peace, God's joy, God's strength, God's ability, all that he is, rest and abide with you, causing you to prosper in all that you do and in all that you say. For his glory and honor, and for your benefit. In Jesus' name, I decree it so. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of God. I love you. See you later.